Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
There was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, I pray thee, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and in like manner Lazarus evil things. But now, here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, there's a great gulf fixed between us, that none may cross over from thence to us, nor may any pass from hence to you. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him back to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. Friends, that's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. This passage introduces us to two prominent characters. Number one, as we said, the rich man. I mean every need of his supplied in this material world. Good home, no doubt, to live in, a warm bed to sleep in, fine food, and of his choice. Maybe a sleek chariot to carry him from one point to another. Now, someone may ask, well, is there anything wrong with that? Oh, no, nothing wrong with the accumulation of material goods at all. Oh, but we need to listen to the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 at verse 19. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for thyselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Oh, verse 21, the reason for this. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Now let's analyze that just a moment. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, thieves break through and steal. Lord, are you saying that it's wrong for me to have a certain amount of this earth's goods? Maybe my home paid for, a little bit saved up for a rainy day? Oh, why certainly not? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29 at verse 18. You need to make preparation for the future. That's not what he's saying. It's the contrast. It's where you place the emphasis in life. Notice what he's saying. Don't place the emphasis upon the accumulation of material wealth. Now, if you have business acumen and you're able to earn your... well, that's fine, nothing wrong. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, he's interested in your heart. Where thy treasure is, that is, what you are primarily concerned with, where you place the emphasis of your life, oh, that's where your heart is found. So remember, nothing here is permanent. Everything here will pass. Even the old physical body in which you dwell, it can only remain here for a short time. So it's where we place the emphasis. Now, this passage here, Luke 16, 19 through 31, talks about the rich man. Has an abundance of this earth's good. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But it also introduces to us Lazarus, a poor man. As a matter of fact, he knew what suffering and hunger and privation were all about. As a matter of fact, he had very little and was dependent upon other people for the necessities of life. It's not a pleasant situation at all. But the Lord here is making a contrast. The extremely rich with the extremely poor. And he's doing that for a purpose, and we will observe that. Yes, this rich man. Luke describes him as a certain rich man. Oh, and he refers to Lazarus by name. You know, that seems to give it a real setting, doesn't it? On occasion, someone, when you quote this particular passage, will say, oh, well, that's just a parable. As if they meant by that, that what is taught here is not particularly significant. You know, it isn't true. It's just a hypothetical case. Friend, even if this were a parable, that word parable, as you know, is from two root words, para, beside, and balo, to cast. Parable suggests throwing down beside of. That is, the purpose being to point out analogies or likenesses. Thus, the parables of the Lord were very familiar stories. His auditors were familiar with the parable that he used, and from that with which they were familiar, he drew spiritual principles that they were not quite so well acquainted with. So his parables were always simple, basic stories. I doubt that Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31 is actually a parable. If it is, his auditors will not be familiar, really, with what he's actually teaching. But I want us to make some observations from this passage of Scripture. The rich man, it's obvious from this passage here in Luke 16, 19 through 31, that a child of God can be lost. You know, there are a few people in the religious world today who would suggest that, you know, once saved, always saved. Oh, impossible for a child of God to so sin as to finally be lost. And a man of a past generation was wont to say, no matter what sin man may commit, from murder to adultery, makes a soul in no more danger of being lost. Can you imagine people so misunderstanding the Word of God? Yes, this passage shows us that a child of God can be lost. You see, you know that the rich man was a child of God. Oh, he referred to Abraham as father, and Abraham referred to him as son. Now, you do recall that God chose a people for his own possession and their progenitor, a man named Abram, which means exalted father. Oh, his name was later changed to Abraham, that is, the father of many nations. Now, this man's descendants were Hebrews. They were the chosen people of God. They were God's children. When a male child was born to Jewish parents, and he was circumcised on the eighth day, he was automatically considered a child of God. He later, of course, had to be taught to know the Lord and to walk in the Lord's instruction, etc. And that's a basic difference between the law of Moses and the dispensation of grace or the teaching of Christ. As Jeremiah said, you remember, Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31, "Behold, the days come that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." Oh, but this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Oh, I'll put my laws into their heart, write them upon their mind. But notice he said, "They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Oh, the Hebrew writer, by the way, quoted that, did he not? Sure. Made it quite clear that in the Christian age, the Christian, the child of God, does not have to be taught to know the Lord. He couldn't have become a child of God until and unless he knew the Lord. So it is by faith in the Christian age, our understanding of the love of God and the sacrifice that was made for our salvation, and based upon that motivation, we give our lives to the Lord. In obedience to His will, we thus become His children. So there is, of course, that difference between the law of Moses and the teaching of Jesus Christ. You see, the law of Moses and the prophets applied to this man's father's house and to his brethren. Well, the law of Moses applied only to the descendants of Abraham. So we can conclude, logically, that the rich man was a child of God. And here he is in Tartarus, Hades, that portion reserved for the reception of the souls of those who were sinful, did not know the Lord. He is in the flames of torment. And a child of God? That's correct. But you know, even if this just suggests that a child of God may be lost, that becomes evident when you read the Bible, does it not? What was it Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29? Well, he said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul, man, you were chosen of the Lord. You're an apostle. You've received the Holy Spirit and miraculously able to teach you inerrantly the Word of God. Right. That did not change Paul's responsibility for his faith and commitment to Jesus Christ, to live according to the Lord's instruction. How did he do that? He said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. You see, old Satan's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He has almost unlimited resources through which to place before you temptation, stumbling blocks, difficulties. The old flesh, if we allow it to be dominant in our lives, will lead us astray. Paul said, I buffet my body and keep it under subjection. See, the works of the flesh, which are these, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, etc. Oh, these things, temptation to the flesh. No, not to the faithful child of God. Oh, and it's interesting to observe that Satan has no power to override my faith, to enter into my life and destroy me against my will. That's what Christ did by his death, you remember. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all of them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So I don't have to worry about Satan entering my life against my will. No, sir. If I do as Paul did, buffet my body, focus my attention upon spiritual matters, be sure that I order my life by a thus saith the Lord, then Satan is powerless. There's no quit. But it is essential that I buffet the body. Our works of the flesh are manifest: fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, lasciviousness, every kind of ungodliness. So I need to guard against the commission of that kind of thing, turning my attention away from him who died to redeem my soul. Focus is important. Oh yes, the child of God can be lost. Didn't Paul tell us that in writing to the Christians in the region of Galatia? Now he's warning them about the false teaching of the Judaizing teachers. Judaizing teacher. Yes, these were Jews, some of whom had obeyed the fundamental principles of the gospel, and yet they held a certain tenets of the law. And they were telling the Christian people in that area that, hey, you've got to be circumcised as well as be baptized. Paul said, I'm warning you, if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. No, you are severed from Christ. You are fallen away from grace. Galatians chapter 5 at verse 4. So we cannot justify our religious practice in the Christian age by Old Testament teaching. No. Christ came and fulfilled the law. And we're familiar with that, of course. Matthew chapter 5, 17 and 18. He filled it full and, of course, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Therefore, no man can judge me with regard to meat or drink or the new moon or the feast day or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of the good things to come. Oh, but the body, the substance, is Christ's. You see, you can't take the Old Testament today and say, Watkins, now you don't keep the Lord's word. You don't observe the Sabbath day. Right, do that and you'll lose your soul. I'm not a Jew. I didn't live before Christ died. So the Old Testament never applied to me at all. And it applies to no one today authoritatively. Oh, indeed. Contains many lessons. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Oh, no question about that. Romans 15 and verse 4. So I need a knowledge of the Old Testament, but it is not the source of authority in matters religious today. So then, God spoke to the rich man, his father and his brethren, through Moses and the law. Right. Oh, but the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 at verse 17. And so today, we are to hear Christ. It's altogether possible for a child of God to be lost. Paul warned us of that, didn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea unto Moses. What is he saying? When they left the bondage of Egypt, that occurred when they were baptized, figuratively speaking, in the cloud and in the sea. Just as today, when we by faith are baptized into Christ, the old man of sin is done away. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. What is he saying? We leave the bondage of sin and come into a conciliatory, a harmonious, right relationship with God. When do we do that? When we're baptized into Christ. That's for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, to wash away your sins, Acts 22 at verse 16. But notice what Paul is saying here. We'll not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea unto Moses. Did all eat of the same spiritual food? Did all drink of the same spiritual drink? For they drank of the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now listen. Howbeit, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. We said these things happened unto them by way of example, that we should not sin as they also sinned. And he enumerates a number of the sins of ancient Israel here. And he talks of the consequences, the suffering that was endured, the punishment inflicted upon them. Then in verse 11 he said, these things happened unto them by way of example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So in verse 12 he said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul, to whom are you writing? He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the children of God. What did you say? These people were God's servants. They were God's children. With most of them, God was not well pleased. Their dead bodies fell in the wilderness, one version says. So he's saying to me, these things happen unto them by way of example. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Then be careful, Watkins. It's so easy to go the way of Satan, to lose sight of the spiritual goals in life, and to lose your soul. You're the child of God can be... someone said, preacher, I'm just in the flesh, and I'm powerless. I can't resist. The next verse, verse 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. For God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape. Now that doesn't mean I just fold my hands and I'll do what I want to. No, sir. What did you say, Paul? Buffet my body. Bring it into subjection. It is a continuous process. This thing of commitment, dedication to Jesus Christ requires diligent, regular study and application of His Word. Because clothed in flesh, old Satan's resourcefulness, as we said, is unlimited. It's the easiest thing in the world to be led astray. But it doesn't have to happen. But a child of God can indeed be lost. There's no question about that. John chapter 15. Didn't Jesus say, I am the true vine? He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. What's that? I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So neither can ye, except you abide in me. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear... What's he saying? I must abide in Christ. How do I do that? Through the study and application of His Word. I become more and more Christ-like. Oh, and in so doing, he came to accomplish the will of the Father, seeking to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. That's my mission. That's what I'm concerned with. Perfectly? No, I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. Oh, but under the protective custody of the blood of Christ, I endeavor by way of commitment, dedication, to walk with the Lord. You see, the child of God can be lost. That's demonstrated right here. The rich man was a child of God. But then there's another observation to be made from this passage. The first conditions beyond this life will bring great and terrible surprises to many. The poor man on earth, deficiency, hunger, he had nothing, and I dare say had very, very few friends, if any. Oh, but at death, he found convoys of angels bearing him gently to Abraham's bosom. The rich man on earth with every need supplied, people around him looking up to him and serving him and all of the money he needed, and beyond the grave had not one friend. Not one friend. Truly, the saved leave all sorrows behind. The lost leave all joys behind. Friends, that should say something to me. To accumulate the earth goods is of no value spiritually. Oh, and if I concentrate on that, well, the statement of Jesus, that very familiar statement, Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Most people miss the point in life. You're not living just for this immediate physical relationship and existence. No, no. You're immortal, made in the image and the likeness of God. You'll live forever. So then you need to order this material life, this physical existence, so as to please Him who can provide for you in the world to come. That's what salvation is all about. Reversed conditions beyond this life will bring great and terrible surprises to men. Matthew 7, that familiar passage. Verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now listen to it. "Many will come unto me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, that is, teach in your name? In your name cast out demons? In your name do many mighty works? Then will I profess unto them, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Friends, that's going to happen to multiplied millions of people, deeply religious people. They have membership in something they've joined. They've been taught this or that, about 2,000 differing religions in this country alone. And that's because about 2,000 differing doctrines have been taught. People have followed the manual, the discipline, the catechism, the confession of faith, the Book of Mormon. They're lost. Good people? Oh, fine neighbors, wonderful folk, honest, sincere, deeply religious. What did you say, Lord? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Did he say, I know you're not? No, no. No, no. That would suggest earlier knowledge, but due to their indifference or unfaithfulness, he doesn't know them at judgment. He didn't say that. But he said, I never knew you. Friends, anything, as we've said many times, that you can join that is religious in nature will condemn you. Check it out. When we obey the Lord by faith, oh, then He knows us. He recognizes His own will. And when I submit thereto, I am recipient of the blessings predicated thereupon. You see, to be saved, I have to believe that Christ is the Son of God. John 8, verse 24, I must repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Oh, then to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism. This is the Lord's will. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, the Lord knows those who do that. They are the children of God. But many people think that salvation is by faith only, or another has this idea or that, friends. Jesus said, I never knew you. Religious people, think about it.